We've been looking at the mysteries of the New Testament as a protection and safeguard. Tonight is obviously going to be prophecy, and we last 2 weeks were the mystery of iniquity. Those were kind of prophetic and kind of let you know what's been ramping up and building up. When you're looking at this one, I don't know that this one will keep you as safe from false doctrine as it will answer questions on what's going on in the world right now. Doesn't the Bible say the spiritual judge all things? 1 Corinthians. In other words, if you're saved, you have a look because of the Bible at the world, and you can understand some things that are going on. And the world literally, I understand, the world's in turmoil right now. And people are going, what's going on? As a Christian, you should understand a little bit more because of the Bible, because we have the Bible. Here in Revelation 17, now as we look at this, this is our text verse here is going to be number 5. It says here, and upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, there's a lot there, and I'm going to hopefully point you to some things in the Bible that will show you, it'll take it out. But what makes this such a mystery? It is a mystery because it has a religious background, but it is very much against God. And it almost appears biblical, but it's not. It's very close to the same. But it's a mystery religion. I would think in researching this mystery on your own, if you wanted to look up, I would think Babylon would be one of the easiest things to study in your Bible. The word Babel means confusion. If you look up Babel for the first time, it's in Genesis 10. It's going to deal with Nimrod. Anything linked with Babel is normally very bad. From Babel, you get the town Babylon. All of it is evil. The city most mentioned in your Bible is, first of all, Jerusalem. The city mentioned the second in your Bible is Babylon. So there is some significance, and Babylon is all through your Bible, and so there's going to be some significance with it. Now, before we start reading here in Revelation 17, let me give you one more tip. Remember, when you read Revelation, chapter 4 is the rapture, right? So everything from chapter 6 on, we're in heaven for. Somebody said, you know, Revelation's scary, and I don't know why somebody would get scared. If you know whatever's happening, you're up in heaven for. But from Revelation 6 to Revelation 19, okay, we're up in heaven. We're in Revelation here, chapter what? 17. So while we're reading and everything that we're reading about that's getting ready to take place, while this happens, we're where? In heaven. Okay? We're up in heaven. Then, remember, chapter 12 is going to be the midpoint of the tribulation where the Antichrist breaks the agreement with Israel, and then he starts chasing them and persecuting them and everything. So you need to remember, as you read Revelation, 4 is the rapture, 19 is the second coming, chapter 19, and chapter 12 is the midpoint. Okay, that's when the 42 months is over, and then the great tribulation begins. Okay, so with that in mind, let's look at Revelation chapter 17. Let's look at verse 1 here. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. What does that mean? If you look down at verse 15, God tells us what the waters are. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So this is a worldwide religion that we're looking at here. It sits on the waters. Look at verse number 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. If you take the word wine, this isn't talking about wine that you would drink. If you look in Ezekiel, you're going to see pitch dealt with, which is dealing with underground streams. I have in my Bible marked wine equals oil that comes out of the ground. Okay? All right. We'll see that here in just a minute. But the wine of her fornication, that's an important word. All right. Then look at verse number 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the, here's another important word, wilderness. When we think of wilderness, we think of either a forest or a jungle, you know, where you're hacking your way through and you got to make a path and through. That word wilderness in your Bible means desert. Okay? Do you remember how the children of Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness? There weren't any trees out there. Okay? It was desert. So the word wilderness in your Bible is not talking about any type of a forest area. It's talking about, and it's important that you understand that, he took him to this place, and this place is in a desert. All right? A desert. It's not any type of a jungle or forest. Next, ready? Look at verse number 4. Let me finish verse number 3. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now we'll show you what that is here in just a second. But can we just, you should come to the understanding in your Bible, anytime you have a woman that is figurative in power, it's always a bad thing. A woman is always a sign of a false religion. That's not a feminist statement. It's not a chauvinist statement. I'm just telling you, anytime God uses a woman in figurative speech, it's always in reference to a bad religion. Okay? And that goes back with Jezebel, and really this goes back to Babel and Semiramis establishing the false religion after Nimrod is killed, and then the baby and the woman and the baby worship that is all over the world, okay? i.e. Catholic, i.e. many things. Any worship of a woman is always bad. In Jeremiah, he makes mention of the Queen of Heaven. God says, I hate that. So, okay, so there we go. This is a picture here, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. By the way, what color is Islam's flag? It's red. What's it got on it? It's got a crescent. Right? It's got a crescent and a star. Right? Because where's Islam come from? The worship of the moon god. Before Muhammad, it was the moon god. Then he changed it to Allah. That's why there's a moon and a star on Islam's flag. Okay? Here we go. Let's keep on going here. I'm probably giving this away, aren't I? Verse number 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. It probably needs to be said, when I got saved, I was always taught, and as somebody that studied Baptist history, you won't find anybody before 1960 writing that does not call the Catholic Church the whore of Babylon. It just doesn't exist. Yeah, I mean, in other words, that's all that is there. When somebody says, let's learn about Revelation 17, this is what's always come up. Oh, we're going to learn about the destruction of the Catholic Church here. And that's what I was taught. And if you go on my website and you go to my prophecy teaching, I taught on Revelation 17. You can hear me teach against the Catholic Church. And you just go verse down by verse. You say, what changed it? As we get closer, do you remember in the book of, let me just take you a journey in your Bible for a second. You remember when God gave the visions to Daniel? God told Daniel, seal up the book until the end. That tells me this. As we get closer to Jesus coming, there's going to be things we learn about the Bible that we can see starting to take place that Daniel couldn't see, that John couldn't see. I don't think John understood everything God was showing him here. Now, he was telling him what to write, But God told Daniel, what I tell you, seal it. And it's going to stay that way until we get to the end. So as we get closer to Jesus coming, we can start seeing some things in the world take place. That's how come I don't have a problem with saying as a preacher, I used to teach Revelation 17 being the Catholic Church, because that's what every Baptist preacher before me preached, literally. For you read the when they were getting butchered and when the Catholics were coming with their armies and just doing the horrible things to the people, there were so many of them saying we're being persecuted by the great whore. And so it's because when they read their Bible, they were like, this matches the Catholic Church. We've learned some things that I'm going to show you tonight that shows you this is not the Catholic Church. I'm going to use the Bible to illustrate this, but I just want you to understand. I think a lot of the people who've been in church for a long time, when you turn to Revelation 17, normally, you're studying about the Catholic Church. We're not going to do that tonight. We're not going to do that at all. Here it says, you say, why would you say that? I have a book in my office called The Vatican's Millions, and it says in it that the Vatican, Catholic Church, is the richest church in the world. It also says that the Vatican is the richest country in the world. That's a false statement. I've learned in the last 10 years, does anybody know the richest country on the face of the earth? What is the richest country on the face of the earth? Saudi Arabia. And it has been that way since oil has been a commodity. 48% of the oil used in the world comes from Saudi Arabia. You ever heard somebody say the statement, them people got more money than brains? Okay, that's true with Saudi Arabians. They do have, I mean, they have like diamond-studded cars. Have you ever seen the pictures of them? Have you seen the pictures of the gold-plated cars? Like in it, then they have cars like Mercedes-Benz, and they'll show you, and it's solid silver. All that Saudi Arabia stuff. Because they are right now the richest country on the face of the earth. Okay? Now, with that in mind, let's look at here, verse number 5. And upon her forehead, this woman, was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great. Mystery Babylon is 13 letters. That's kind of interesting. 13 is the number of sin in your Bible. Probably just a coincidence. Well, let's keep on reading here. Ready? Verse number 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with a great admiration. Drunken with the blood of the saints. How do they die in the tribulation period? How do they die? If you'll go in your Bible to Revelation, you're in Revelation 17, turn over to chapter 20. Look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. So how are people killed? Well, they're killed that way now. Islam beheads people. It says 35 times in the Quran, strike the neck of unbelievers. Strike the neck means cut the head off. That's what Islam has practiced since it's been a religion. During the tribulation, God says so many people are going to be beheaded. He brings reference to them. I would say millions of people beheaded. Well, who is it as we get closer to Jesus coming? To me, that's very easy to see Islam. Okay, very easy. Go back to Revelation chapter 17. Ready? Let's keep on reading here. We'll just kind of follow down through this, and then I'll give you a way of interpreting it here that I think will help you. All right, watch this. Verse number 7. And the angel said unto me, I'm at Revelation 17, 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition or hell, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. There's another reference to the beast. The Antichrist is going to be killed in the tribulation period. Then he's not going to be, and then he's going to be. He's going to resurrect. He's going to be an Antichrist and be resurrected like Jesus was. Then this is in reference also to a kingdom that was, is not, and yet is. Now, I'll see if we have time to go back over that. Look at verse number 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, normally when you hear this taught, everybody goes, okay, where is this city that it's talking about? And everybody says Rome, because Rome is the city of seven hills. That works until you look up on the internet how many cities in the world have seven hills. 21 cities. I have over 20 cities in the world. Would you like to know one of the names of the cities that has seven hills? Mecca. I have in my Bible, written right there, Mecca. And people have always said, see, this is talking about the Vatican and Rome, because Rome is the city that sits on seven hills. Rome is not the only city with seven hills in it. Mecca is known as a city with seven hills. You need to know that. Now, with that in mind, this is talking about here, as far as, do you see at the end of verse 8, it says, and they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Do you understand, when you get into this, I'm going to use some modern day history, but I'm speculating, okay? I cannot say, if you don't agree with me, you're sinning. This is prophecy. Do you understand? This is kind of like, okay, what can we use from the Bible and past history to interpret this? The beast that was and is not and is yet to come and will be, I believe, is the Islamic Ottoman Empire. If you ever look, I'm amazed at how little we know about the Ottoman Empire. We're all taught about Rome, Greece, we don't even know a whole lot about the Persian Empire. Now, that's different, but with Persia being in the Bible, we're taught about Nebuchadnezzar, and then we're taught about the Medo-Persian and Greece, Rome, and then the revived Roman Empire. How come the Ottoman Empire was huge? Now, here's what you need to know about the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire did not happen with Muhammad. It happened after Muhammad, and the growth started and only lasted 200 years. Now, the Ottoman Empire goes all the way up to, all right, when you get into about 1924, they shut down the Ottoman Empire, and they divided the whole Middle East according to World War I's area domination. In other words, France and Britain all divided up. That's how come we have a mess. That's one reason we have such a big mess over there right now. They should have divided it by people groups. You ever heard of Sunni and Shia? Okay? They should have divided it by people groups. What they did was, after World War II, they broke up the whole Middle East by France and by Britain's occupations. And that's one reason we have a mess over there. It's not the only reason. Okay, if you don't know anything about that, that's fine. I have a thing I'll teach you sometime on it. But understanding how come the Middle East is such a volatile mess, that's one reason, not the only reason. But the Ottoman Empire ceased to be in about 1924. Then, think with me just for a second. From 1924, at the end of World War II, World War I, okay, and I know that's a little past World War I, but from 1924, when is the next time Islam comes on the scene in history? Every American should know this. 1979, with the Iranian hostage situation. 40 American hostages in Iran. I was how old at that time? I think I was 14. Okay, so some people in here are older, but the world had never heard of terrorists. The world had never heard of an Islamic threat. Nobody cared about Islam. Do you understand? Nobody cared about Islam in the 1800s. The Ottoman Empire lost its punch after the first 200 years. Then it just existed. And you know, they tried to take something in 14, they tried to take Venice and failed in 1400s and blah, blah, blah. And they still just kind of floated. Until 1924, then the Islamic Empire dies. We are now seeing an Islamic revolution. And Islam is on the rise. There is nothing on the decline about Islam right now. But before 1979, nobody cared about Islam. Nobody knew what a terrorist was. Now it's a household word, right? So something is happening, and I have in my Bible right there, and that which was and is not and is yet, I have right there, Islamic Ottoman Empire. It used to be. It died. Now it's coming back. Okay? It's coming back. Now let's keep on going here. So we've got Mecca there, and look at verse number 10. And there are seven kings. Seven kings, that's a separate, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Stop. I know that this is kind of wordy, but hang with me here. Whoever this eighth one is, he's part of the seventh. He's what the seventh was, brought back. So it's kind of like you've got a pulse there, okay? So it looks like something was, died, came back, what I was just describing to you, the Ottoman Empire, all right? Now, let's look down at verse number 17, verse 18. Ready? And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, so whoever this woman is, the whore, mystery Babylon, it is a city. It is a city. I have in my Bible written Mecca. All right? Now, what we've all heard is whenever we Americans read our Bible, we read Babylon, and since we weren't raised over there, we spiritualize. And we say, Jeremiah 49 and 50 and 51 is talking about the destruction of Babylon, and we can spiritualize it. And I've heard a whole sermon, I don't know if you've ever heard it before, but it's called America, America. And it talks about how America is Babylon. And America is going to be destroyed by nuclear weapons. And then that sermon goes from Jeremiah 50 and 51 to Revelation 17 and 18, and it says, in 1 hour, Babylon's destroyed. It says America is going to be destroyed by nuclear weapons in 1 hour. It makes for a great altar call, okay? It really does. Good altar call. I mean, I had my teenagers at that youth conference, and man, everybody was using the altar. But here's the mistake. There's nothing about America in the Bible. Do you understand? We'd like to think it is because we're Americans, okay? But where is America in the Bible? It's not in there. Do you understand? What is in the Bible is Jerusalem and Babylon. You need to understand that. You need to get, the world does not center around America, okay? With that in mind, this is a city. Now take your Bible. Let's find out from the Bible where this place called Babylon is. Go to Isaiah chapter 21. Now, while we're warming this up, I thought if I gave you a little foundational material to help you, I did not have a handout tonight, but you're going to Isaiah 21, and I'm going to give you a few things to write in your Bible tonight so you can look at this yourself, okay? Without overburdening you, okay? Isaiah 21, go to Isaiah 17 right now. Go to Isaiah 17. Isaiah 17. Isaiah chapters 1 through 39 is God's judgment on Jerusalem and the pagan nations around Jerusalem. Chapters 40 to 66 is God's comfort in the book of Isaiah. That's how come there's 66 chapters in Isaiah, a mini Bible. Okay? And chapters 1 through 39 represent the Old Testament, and chapters 40 through 66 represent the 27 books of the New Testament. Yada, yada. Now that you have that, the first section of Isaiah is judgment. Right by Isaiah 17, you should put this: God's judgment of Syria. God's judgment of Syria. I really do have a method behind my madness. It starts out there, while you're writing that, just God's judgment of Syria. It says the burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. This is Damascus is in Syria, which is north of Jerusalem. Okay? Which is north of Jerusalem. Next, go to Isaiah 18. That is God's judgment on Sudan and Somalia. Put down, you can just, if you want to write down just the nations there at the top, Sudan and Somalia. Sudan and Somalia. I really do have a reason that I'm doing this, okay? Verse number 1 says, woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Ethiopia is going to include Sudan and Somalia. All right, so Sudan and Somalia, right there next to Isaiah 19. We're only going to do this for three more chapters, okay? So let me give you Isaiah chapter 19. Just put down Egypt. Egypt. God's judgment on Egypt. What is Egypt the home of? Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood. It is Muslim headquarters, okay? That's God's judgment on Egypt. Now go to Isaiah 20. Ready? Like I said, we're not going to do this through all the chapters, but these chapters here are very key. Ready? On Isaiah 20, write down Egypt and Cush. C-U-S-H. Egypt and Cush. God's judgment on Egypt and Cush. Isaiah 21. Ready? At the top of Isaiah 21, write down Iraq and Saudi Arabia. Iraq and Saudi Arabia. Then a verse to help you with Isaiah 21, okay, should be this. You're there in Isaiah 21. Did you write down Iraq and Saudi Arabia? Look at verse number 13, just so you know. It says here, the burden upon Arabia. In the forest in Arabia shall ye lodge. Now look at Isaiah chapter 21. Look at verse number 1. Ready? The burden of the desert of the sea. As whirlwinds in the south pass through it, so it cometh from, there's the words again, the desert, from a terrible land. Look at verse 2. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, and then underline these two words here. O Elam. Besiege Omidia. All the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Elam, if you did your own word search in your Bible, every time you read the word Elam, that is Iran. Elam is Iran. So you've got Arabia, Saudi Arabia, and Iran being judged. Now, ready? Watch this. Look at verse number, here we go. Look at verse number 9. Actually, start at verse number 8. And he cried, a lion, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken under the ground. Now, everybody, if you're reading Isaiah 21 and Revelation 17 is a quote of Isaiah 21, then what part of the world do you think it's talking about? It's not talking about Rome. It's talking, mentions desert twice, mentions Saudi Arabia, and it mentions Iran. Babylon, the city that Revelation 17 is talking about, the city that is condemned is Mecca. The place, keep always when you read your Bible, it just helps us. We're Baptists. We read the Bible literally. When God says it, that's what God means. I don't have to go, where is that? It means Babylon. It means that's the place in Iraq called Babylon. And where is Revelation 17, quoting Isaiah 21, where is that part of the world? It's in Arabia. It's in Arabia. That's why this isn't hate speech against Islam. Do you understand? This is using the Bible to say, okay, where does Revelation 17 quote what's being taught? Isaiah 21. Then what is Isaiah 21 talking about? God's judgment on Arabia and Iran. Iran. Now that we have that, you're right there in Revelation 21. Mark one more city. Okay, ready? Look down at verse number 14, and this is so you can look this up later. And I really am watching the time. Look at verse number 14. The inhabitants of the land of Tema brought water to him that was thirsty. Tema is southern Arabia. If you look it up on a map, they always say it helps when you study your Bible if you had a good old dictionary and a good Bible map. Just a good, accurate map. So when you see where a city is mentioned as you're reading, you can go boink, boink, and find the place. Okay? That's southern Arabia. Then, do you see verse 16? It says, "For thus hath the Lord said unto me, within a year, according to the years of an hireling, and all the glory of Kedar." Do you see the place Kedar? That is northern. That's in north Saudi Arabia. So you have Teman at the south, and you have Kedar in the north. I don't think anybody would argue this is judgment on Saudi Arabia. Now, let me give you two more chapter headings here. Ready? You're in Revelation 21. Go to 22. Isaiah 22. Okay. Isaiah 22 is God's judgment on Iran. God's judgment on Iran. Okay. And then Isaiah 23. You can put Lebanon. God's judgment of Lebanon. Now, when you put all this together, okay, name a country in the Bible that God fights against that is not Muslim. You can't. Every country in your Bible that God fights against, and God says, and some of these countries, some of this is prophetic, some of it has happened, some of it has not happened. There's always a present happening, and then there's always a prophetic happening. Some of these countries haven't been destroyed yet. Some of them have been. And they're going to get destroyed at the second coming of Jesus in chapter 19. But let me ask you the question one more time. Out of all the countries that we've covered, and I can go through Ezekiel with you, I can go through Jeremiah with you, I can go through Obadiah, I can go through, which is just one chapter, but name a country in your Bible that God fights against and says, "I'm going to destroy you," that is not Muslim. And you can't. Every country that God fights against in your Bible is a Muslim nation. That's why somebody said, "Where's Islam in the Bible? What's getting ready to happen as far as, wow, there's so much happened with ISIS and then, you know, Hamas and Al-Qaeda and what's going on?" You're watching the world ramp up. You understand? As the mystery Babylon religion is Islam. And you're watching things getting ready for Jesus to come. Mystery Babylon, the mystery religion of Babylon it's Islam. It's Islam. Now, to give you just a few more things here before we go, look at Revelation chapter 2. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Ready? Last week we learned, or 2 weeks ago, it was the Antichrist's name in the Bible is the Assyrian. So what country did we say, watch? If there was any country you would be, if you wanted to know where's the Antichrist going to come from, God titles the Antichrist the Assyrian. So what was the country that we said, watch? Turkey. Watch Turkey. There's a lot that happened in Turkey. Noah's Ark landed in Turkey. The seven churches of Revelation are all in Turkey. There's a lot of Bible that happened in Turkey. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. Let me show you something that's bad. Revelation 2, look at verse number 12. Ready? And the angel, and to the angel of the church of Pergamos, write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Look at the end of verse 13. Where Satan dwelleth. So where did Jesus tell us Satan sits and dwells? Pergamos. Where is Pergamos? Turkey. That's why we say, watch Turkey. And I've heard some things, but I've heard old, and watch this, I'm not knocking old time preachers, I'm just saying we know more about the Bible than they do, but they'd spiritualize it, and they would do this. Satan's seat started in Pergamos over in Turkey. Then when the Catholic Church got started, it moved to Rome. Then when the UN began in city of New York, Satan's seat moved to the UN in New York, and now Satan sits in New York City, right where the UN is, where the world is coming together as one. It doesn't say that. Satan's seat and dwelling place, our Savior told us in the Bible, is in Turkey. That's why there should be a name that you should, I don't know, with iPhone and internet, there's things you can learn nowadays, but Erdogan, he's the ruler right now in Turkey. Erdogan, what a name. Erdogan, supper. Creepy, sounds like a dragon. But Erdogan is a very powerful man right now over there. He's restructuring all of Turkey. They are starting to go after Christians over there. Turkey has normally been tolerant towards the West. They're totally changing everything right now. If there was somebody that if you could take a peek at every once in a while, it ought to be, I'm not saying Erdogan's the Antichrist. I'm just saying, Christian, the Bible teaches us, I think, keep an eye on Turkey and Syria, because there's a lot that is going to happen out of there. Versus, well, we're just interested, and we're interested in what's happening in America. Watch this. Let me see here if I can cover just one more thing with you. Go to Daniel chapter 9. We might do two more things. Ready? Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Somebody says, no, the mother of harlots, Babylon. That's Rome. That's the Catholic Church. Well, when you read Revelation 17 and 18, Babylon gets destroyed. Mecca in Revelation chapter 18 gets destroyed. Do you know how bad Iran and Turkey hate Saudi Arabia? When you read, okay, we don't have time for it. This will be in the sermon here. In Isaiah 34, verse 9, Iran and Saudi Arabia join forces and they burn Saudi Arabia's oil fields. And the Bible plainly says what's going to happen to Saudi Arabia. Where Mecca is, the headquarters of Islam, it is going to be turned into a lake of fire. It says they're going to set the pitch on fire. What's the pitch? The underground streams. What flows underground in Saudi Arabia? The oil. They're going to set the oil fields on fire. And the Bible says in Isaiah 34, you can read it later, but Saudi Arabia is going to burn and burn and burn. Nothing's going to dwell there. It's coming. But Iran, as you're looking at the map, Iran and Turkey, they're going to join forces and they're going to fight against Saudi Arabia. Do you know how come they don't like Saudi Arabia? You got the different Sunni and Shias? They look at Saudi Arabia as a traitor nation to Islam, because Saudi Arabia does what? It sells its oil to America, sells it to Russia, sells it. And what's the Quran say that Islam isn't supposed to do? You're supposed to either make slaves of people, of non-believers, or you're supposed to kill them. So Saudi Arabia, because they sell, they're looked at as a nasty nation. And Iran can't stand them. No fundamental, what you would call dogmatic Islamist, like Saudi Arabia. And what did Saudi Arabia do 3 years ago? They just declared Saudi Arabia, right before Muhammad died, he said there could only be one religion in that whole Saudi Arabian peninsula. So guess what they did 3 years ago in Saudi Arabia? No Christian church can be there. They burned churches. Didn't matter what faith. If you weren't Islam, they came after you and destroyed you. I'm just telling you, things are ramping up, and you need to understand, as far as Saudi Arabia, Mecca is there, and then Babylon is up in Iraq. That's a verse to look at. You're in Daniel chapter 9. Ready? Look at verse 26. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And then this little phrase right here, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The people of the prince that shall come. Many Bible teachers have used that little phrase right there and said, when Titus came through and, just like Jesus prophesied, destroyed the city of Jerusalem so that not one stone would be left upon another. When Titus did that, he used a Roman army. Okay, used the Roman army. Goes through, and I mean the butchery was phenomenal. They stacked bodies as high as houses. Okay? That was Titus's ransacking of Jerusalem, and they had not done what Roman told them to do, but they have used that verse right there, the people of the prince that shall come. This is the thinking. Well, Titus was Roman. He used Roman soldiers. So the people of the prince that shall come, the Antichrist, is going to come from Rome. It's got to be the Pope. How come that isn't true? Are you ready? Josephus tells us that Titus's soldiers was the 10th Roman Legion that came through. And if you're looking at the map, if Rome is here and Jerusalem is here, it does not help you if you're going to take a city over here to march an army all the way across and down. If this is part of the Roman Empire, then you take your skeletal leadership crew and you go find an army that's Roman close to where you want to take it. That way you don't have to feed them and handle all the logistics. Is everybody with me? So Titus did not march an army from Rome all the way down to Jerusalem. He marched his leadership down to Antioch. Antioch. That's where Paul's from. That's the corner church up there in Syria, corner of Turkey, right? Where did the people of the prince come that ransacked Jerusalem and destroyed the city? Came from Antioch, which is where? Turkey. What's the nation we told you to watch? Turkey. But I'm telling you, Josephus wrote that 2,000 years ago. Okay? But that little phrase right there, the people of the prince that shall come, that has been the justification. See, Titus ransacked Rome. He came from Rome. Ransacked Jerusalem. He came from Rome. So the Antichrist is going to come from Rome. No. The people of the prince that shall come, the prince, the Antichrist, is coming from the same place the people that ransacked Jerusalem did. That's Antioch. That's Turkey. Watch Syria. Watch Turkey. It's Islam. And Turkey isn't on the verge of changing religions right now. Let's look at one more thing, and I know I've kept you over. Go to Psalm 83. Go to Psalm 83. Ready? So mystery religion of Babylon. Okay, mystery religion. What is it? It's not Rome. It's not Rome. It is, look, for the Pope could not, I don't care how tanned he is, he could not, he's going to have to pass as a Jew. He's not going to take off his hat and go, I'm a Jew of the tribe of, from Abraham and out of David's lineage, and I'm here to sit on the throne and I'm the Messiah. He's going to have to be olive skinned. Does everybody understand? He's going to have to be Palestinian or Jordanian or something, but he cannot be white because the Jews are going to be tricked. They're going to say, okay, that's the Messiah, right? And half of them are going to, I don't know what portion, but there's going to be a group of Jews that say that's the Messiah, and they're going to take his mark, and they're going to be damned to hell. But on and on it goes. No white guy is going to go fool a Jew. They're all looking at Jewish records and stuff like this. That's why the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim posing to be a Jew. Because how bad does Islam hate Jews? Real bad. So whoever he is, he's going to be olive-skinned and he's going to be posing to be a Jew. But he'll be fake. He'll be Islamic. He will be an Islamic. He will be from Turkey, okay, as far as I can tell from the Bible. Look at Psalm 83. Ready? Watch this. There's a verse here I'd like you to notice before we look at it. Here at Psalm 83, look at verse 8. Asher also is joined with them. They have hope in the children of Lot, Selah. Whenever you see the word Selah in your Bible, the word Selah always means that is a prophetic psalm that's going to be fulfilled when Jesus comes. Selah Petra, where the Jews are going to be hiding from the Antichrist. Petra is a city in Saudi Arabia. It's in north. All right, it's in the north. But Petra is where they're going to be hiding. This Psalm 83 is a prayer of the Jews while the Antichrist is coming against Israel. Okay? Now that you have the background of it, let's read it real quick. And look at the nations that are mentioned. Ready? Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. Look what they've said. Verse 4. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. What has Islam said they're going to do to Jerusalem? They're going to push Israel into the sea. We want to destroy Israel. Look at verse number 5. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate or joined against thee. The tabernacles of Edom. Edom is Jordan to Saudi Arabia. And the Ishmaelites. Okay, Ishmaelites, that's down in Saudi Arabia, of Moab and the Hagarenes. Moab is near, it's the children of Lot, but it's on Jordan. Gebal is Lebanon, and Ammon. I have Ammon here, that's also in Jordan, and Amalek. Amalek is Jordan, that's southwest of the Dead Sea. All right. The Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Tyre is Lebanon. Asher also is joined with them. They have hope in the children of Lot. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and as Zalmunna. Now, let's wrap this all up with one place. I'd like you to go to, in your Bible, right next to Psalm 83, all those nations that are listed there are Islam. Every one of them. Right in your Bible, write Judges 8, 21, and let's find out what happened to Zeba and Zalmunna. Okay? Because God says, let what happened to Zeba and Zalmunna happen to these nations as they come against Israel. Go to Judges 8:21. Judges 8:21. There's one word I want you to underline. Verse number 21. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, "Rise thou and fall upon us, for as the man, so is, so is his strength." And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna and took away the, can you underline the word there that says ornaments? Underline the word that says ornaments that were on their camels' necks. When you look up the word ornaments, it means crescent moon. What did Gideon do to Zeba and Zalmunna? He took away the crescent. Psalm 83 is a prophecy of how God is going to take away the crescent. What's the crescent and the star? The sign of Islam. God is going to destroy Islam. We'll be in heaven while the mystery Babylon religion is destroyed. That is just all I've given you tonight is a light overview. I've given you enough to get started on your own, but I don't know that there's a practical application to this other than this. If you don't think we're getting ready for Jesus to come, if you're watching Israel, you're watching the countries over there, I think it's soon and very soon. I will be shocked if I live a natural life if the rapture does not happen in my lifetime. You say when? It ain't September 23rd. Okay. all this garbage about September 23rd. It is the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles. Okay, it is a Jewish feast time. But no, I don't think the rapture is happening September 23rd. I think we need to be praying for our revival on September 24th. Okay, 25th. So, but where does a Bible study like this go? Doesn't God say, look at the mysteries in the Bible. You're not going to understand it all. But a glance at Babylon, Revelation 17 and 18, will let you know what's getting ready. And with all the horrible things that Islam's doing to people, it's not going to decrease. Things are going to get worse before they get better. And it just helps us as Christians to know, I've read the back of the book. I know we win. I'm on the winning side. It is bloody right now, but I know where we're going. Do you understand? So as far as where's Islam in the Bible and what's going to happen,